I want to ask you about your father. If you can just tell me about a little bit about him, the history.
15 and a half, I think, when the Soviets came to her block and called her mother, her foster mother was her aunt, because my mother was an orphan. So they took my mother's aunt's husband was a had been a policeman. He'd been killed by the Ukrainians in that particular time. But she was the wife of, she was therefore intelligentsia. So they, as you know, they the Soviets came and they took away all the intelligentsia or anybody with authority and so on, and sent them off to various parts of the Soviet Union. Well, my mother and her aunt were taken to Kazakhstan to work on one of the kolkhozes, and the it was brutal. It was brutal there. She was there, I think, for 2.5 years. Meanwhile, my father had already, he was 10 years older than my mother, he had already been in the army for a few years and was fighting on the Pogranichna defense. He was fighting on the eastern border defense, because after the First World War in 1918, there were still problems with the borders, and there were incursions from the Ukrainians, from the various other nationalities, especially the Ukrainians and the Soviets, and they had to be defended. My father was in that particular section of the army, and in 39 he was captured by the Soviets crossing the River Sun. He had to part of his He was on a mission somewhere with a group of other soldiers, and he was imprisoned. And then luckily he was already a sergeant, I think, at the time, so he wasn't sent to Katyn. He wasn't an officer, became an officer afterwards. And he was sent off to Siberia near Lake Baikal, and that was a brutal journey, and that was dreadful conditions there. If any English people have read Solzhenitsyn, they'll know all about it. And he survived, and my mother survived, and both when the jungle drums came out, because nobody was told officially that Stalin had given armistice to, is that armistice? His release the Polish prisoners, and they could join the army. He wanted as many to join the Polish division of the Russian army, but Poles managed to actually walked thousands of miles, or jumped on trains and found ways of getting there. And my father found his way to the Anders Army. My mother found her way to the Anders Army, the same place. And my father was set. It was in Kazakhstan. I can't remember. I've got it written down, but I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly where it was. But it's where the army was actually started and stationed. And my father was, well, first of all, they tried to feed these people up and shave their heads of lice and give them a wash. But they didn't. I don't think they got uniforms for ages. Anyway, my father was in charge of a group of young volunteers like my mother, to teach them the basic army drill, marching, standing to attention, and all the various different and shooting probably and so on. By the way, my mother always looked very young, and she the army didn't want to take her on. They said, "We don't take children. You'll have to go to India with the women and children." She said, "But I'm 18," she said. "We don't believe you. But anyway, let's take down your details and date of birth." So she said, "Well, my name is Irena Małecka, and I was born on the 3rd of May, 1923 or 22." And he said, "Well, for the Trzeci Maj, for that 3rd of May, the day of the Polish Constitution, we will take you on, even if you're not 18." So it's because of that, because of Trzeci Maj, that my mother got into the army, that my mother met my father, that I was born, and I was able to set up Orlęta. It goes on and on. Yeah. So Trzeci Maj for me is quite important as well. Yeah. So what was I saying about my father? They came out on the first ship to cross the Caspian Sea before Stalin closed the exit point again. I think there were two ships that were allowed out and a few smaller boats. And it was so crowded, so crowded. They were like, you've seen the Indian trains where people are standing on top and hanging off the bottom. It's a bit like that. And they arrived in Persia, where the Persians were wonderful to them, so hospitable. They saw them as victims of a dreadful regime, who have been suffered, and they were refugees, and they gave them help and shelter. They gave them food. In fact, they gave them so much lovely food, especially fruit, that many of them died of typhoid and other stomach-related illnesses as well. But anyway, there was illness prevalent, and my mother told us that one of her jobs as a new soldier was to, when it was her turn, she would have to guard the mortuary tents, and she's at night, and she was terrified of it, but she did it. Yeah. Then from there, Persia, they went on through. They ended up in Palestine, where my parents I think they met in Persia. But in Palestine is when their romance really started. My mother had to go back to school. There was a school set up for people like her, where education had been broken through the war. And she did, I think, a year, perhaps not a complete year there, while she was also doing army training in Palestine. And my father was doing army training, and basically, they were recovering before they were sent off to India. My father went to Italy. My father, the men went first, and then the women went second. Not all of the women; some of them stayed at the school. But my mother found her way into the women's army that was going there. She joined. She did everything. She had different times. She did different things. So she was part of the transport. So she would deliver food. She'd deliver ambulances with people or brought them back. She was in the office as a, filing or writing or typing, in the canteens, preparing food, various different jobs, but always trying to be as close to my father as possible. She was very much in love with him. And obviously he must have been with her as well. War ended, obviously Monte Cassino, and various other battles in Italy before that and after. And then when the war was declared finished, the Polish soldiers were very upset because, as far as they were concerned, Poland wasn't yet free. And, they were at a loss. The army wasn't initially disbanded, but the army was then, the people were given the option of either returning to Poland or going back to Britain, and from there maybe to Australia, Canada, or America. And some people chose those. My godfather, he chose to return to Poland, and he was never seen or heard of after that. And so many people were actually disappeared that returned to Poland, called fascists, because they weren't communists. So my parents ended up in, they had married in Italy. I was born in Italy in August, end of August. And in November, we arrived in England in a special military camp that was vacated, and it was made as a repatriate, not a refugee camp, a camp for Polish soldiers to await their turn before they could move on. And about the year after, the army was disbanded. Meanwhile, people had been given opportunities to learn trades. My mother had learned somewhere along the line sewing, so she could use a sewing machine. My father was extremely artistic and became a painter and decorator when they left. It was in Essex, in this camp. They came to London, moved in with his sister, my father's sister, and her family. She had two children at the time and was expecting another one in North London. We lived there, I think, for 6 months or a year before my parents actually were able to buy a little place in Kensal Rise in North London, where I grew up initially until the age of, we lived there until I was 10, and then we moved to Willesden, also North London. But my father was a painter and decorator, painting and decorating hotels, cinemas, especially cinemas that had excellent painting and filigree and he was so artistic. They used him for all the delicate work as well. And my mother took in sewing, whether it was, you know, piecework in the home. Sometimes she used to work in a sewing, small sewing factory, but most of the time at home so that she could be with us. And that's how I was brought up.
Thank you so much for sharing this story with me. Is there anything else you would like to talk about that I haven't asked you?
I can't remember. I think I've spilled my whole soul out to you.
There's always something.
I have two sisters who are younger than me, slightly. Same difference as between my two daughters, actually. And they speak Polish. Their husbands speak Polish, but they speak English to each other. And their children learnt a bit of Polish, but they no longer speak Polish. But they like to sing Polish carols at Vigilia. So I've prepared a sheet of carols. And every Vigilia, one of the sisters, the one who comes to Christmas with us, Vigilia with us, not the other one who's left because she's got such a big family. I mean, we still see her, but not in the context of Vigilia. And anyway, they don't like to sing. But my children and that other sister's children, Eva's children, they like to sing. And we all sing in harmony, have such fun. And then we go on to singing English and other carols as well. That's fun. So, their children don't speak Polish, whereas my children do. And I have an English husband. But then I'm the one who has pursued the Polish folk culture and Polish culture in general. Yeah, I'm a patriot.
And on that note, we're going to finish our conversation today. Thank you so much, Basia, for sharing all those beautiful stories with us. And I really, really hope that one day we can meet in person and you can show me all those beautiful costumes you have there.
I would love to meet.
We really want to just touch them. It's not just about seeing, just touching them. And
yeah. Oh, it is. And just touch. Not just that, but also putting them on and feeling the weight.
Yes. Definitely. Especially
thank you very much
behind you.
Thank you so much for your interest.